Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Back in the saddle again? Back in black? That's it? That's all we can think of?
I know. I was like, should I... Hang on.
Back to the future? But back. Backyotomy?
I don't know. You got me. Back.
It is Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering what you're listening to. It's the name of the show, freetalklive.com. If you've never heard of us, please visit us there. Find out all about us. We are a live call-in radio program, which means if you want to participate, you can call 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. Joining me in the studio tonight, it's...
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
I, of course, am the Reverend Captain Kickass. We've been talking about all sorts of fun things. And we've got a couple more things in store for you. But first, I want to say thank you to Bonnie Nestat. Bonnie Nestat is a gold-level amplifier, and that means that she gives $25 per month.
Wow.
I love gold.
No, I'm wrong. That's 10 bucks a month. We only ask for five. Five is silver, 10 bucks is gold, and 25, I believe, is platinum.
Become platinum. A plutonium.
It's platinum. Yes, Bobby, it's platinum.
Yes, where's my suitcase full of money?
At any rate, why is Bonnie giving us money? Why? It's called She's an Amplifier.
Yeah, she's cool.
And you can, well, she's cool, yeah. You can find out all about the amplifier program at amps.freetalklive.com. What does AMPS stand for? It's Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. That means that Bonnie likes this show enough, and the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the perspective of peace, freedom, and prosperity, and liberty that we bring, she likes it enough to contribute 10 bucks a month to help us get onto more radio stations. We're currently on about 170-ish radio stations. We could be on 200. We have been on 200, 250, 300, not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you like this show, the perspective that we bring, and you find that it has value, please consider joining amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you, Bonnie, for your contribution. We appreciate you. All right, Nikki, you brought in this bit about some nurses going on strike, and I want to get to that. But before we do, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Major Payne calling from Michigan. Major.
That backstraps with butter.
Backstraps, right? Thank you.
Yes, yes. So anyway, I got a quick story about my own recollections of the Georgia State Troopers, and then I got a question on your open carry laws in New Hampshire there.
Okay.
So this was a few years ago. A buddy of mine had just bought like 2 square miles down in southern Georgia. They called them thatch. It was like canal on one side, swamp on the other, and a river on the third with a big, nasty 8-foot fence on the, you know, half mile of road frontage.
Okay.
And they obviously used to keep mules there because none of the critters could get out. But now it's a home to some bunch of nasty feral hogs. So we were going down there pig hunting. And we're blasting down 75 heading to Georgia. And this went on for about 200 miles. Seems every 20 to 50 miles, we were driving a big, my buddy had just, I think it was like the third year they came out with that black Challenger, smoking car. But about every 20, 50 miles, one of these little black, the cops were driving Chargers.
Yep.
I think they were a little jealous. So anyway, they'd pop out about every 20 to 50 miles and pull up beside me and, you know, rev the engine, bounce the nose and whatnot, trying to get me to drag race. This went on for 200 freaking miles.
Wait. I just want to be clear because we indicated earlier that drag racing meant driving really fast with women's clothes on. Were you doing that?
Were the cops doing that?
No. Okay. Wrong kind of drag, dude. That's a chauffeur area. Leave it be.
Okay, all right. Continue.
So anyway, yeah, they were trying to goad me into breaking the law. And if I had been, you know, a 25, 30-year-old kid, I might have fell for it and ended up with a pit maneuver my own damn self.
Hmm. Pit maneuvered yourself.
No,
no,
the
they might have, I might have ended up causing a pit maneuver on my own self by breaking the law and thereby giving them permission to get up my arse, as it were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've actually had a dream like that, drag racing the police. I won in the dream, obviously.
But you wear women's clothes all the time.
Yeah. Oh, I was wearing men's clothing, I often do.
It's funny how when women wear men's clothing that they don't say, oh, you're in drag today.
Yeah. They just assume I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, you got long hair.
Yeah.
Helga the Lumber Queen. Yes.
What was the other thing you were calling about?
Oh, yeah. On the your open carry laws in New Hampshire.
Yeah, you can just
now,
do it.
I am felonious, so I'm allowed to carry a club here in Michigan, which is what they classify a black powder as.
Yeah.
How does that law transcribe over to New Hampshire?
You're still prohibited at the federal level. There is, however, legislation on the docket right now by one of the liberty-leaning reps in the New Hampshire. What is he in the House?
State House.
State House. Yes, thank you. And anyway, this legislation on the docket would allow for felons to regain their privileges of carrying firearms. After a period of time.
You mean their rights?
Yes, thank you.
Their rights back.
Get their rights back for carrying arms. Now, that hasn't passed yet, but it is on a docket and up for consideration. So
you're talking on the state level, right?
What level?
State no, level. Federal, right?
Because
if they're in the state house, so that would be federal.
Right. What they're trying to do is supersede the federal court in that respect and say that if you're in New Hampshire and you're a felon, but it's been X amount of time. I don't know what that time is, 10 years, something. Or if your felonious crime was nonviolent, then your ability to not only own a gun but carry openly is restored.
But that would just be in New Hampshire?
It would just be in New Hampshire,
thing?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a 10th Amendment.
At least it would set precedents, and there might be a small brush going across the country then.
Right.
Yep.
It's got to start somewhere.
All right.
Hey, love you guys, man.
Thanks for the call, Major. We appreciate you. All right. So, I don't know much more about that. I just happened to have noticed it. There was a state rep, Matt Santanastasso, who has submitted many things, and this was one of them.
Oh, I didn't know Matt was doing this.
I think it was, or maybe it was Jason Gearhart. I don't remember. One of the two of them.
Yeah.
Either way.
Doesn't matter who
it was in a list of things that, and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, right? That's awesome.
Because that's kind of like one of the many peeves that I have is, okay, a guy gets incarcerated.
Yeah, nonviolent
and he
crime.
Serves his entire sentence. Why, for the rest of his life, can he not defend himself?
Well, and that's the thing, too. You think that, okay, if you commit a crime, your punishment is going to jail. Yeah. When you're out of jail, that should be it.
You paid
right. But if
yes.
you're...
Unless you get out of jail on, like, probation or parole or something for a period of time. But once that expires, your rights should be restored.
Mm-hmm. But then, if you're a felon, it's difficult to get a job.
Right.
You can't defend yourself. And now I'm sure there's a list of, you know, a number of other things mm-hmm. you can't do being a felon or even... Just being an ex-convict of any crime, even if it's not a felon.
Oh, if you're a felon and you go into a bar with strangers and, you start chatting it up with some and one of them is a felon, you can be rearrested for associating with felons.
What?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it depends on the conditions of your release, but yeah.
Yeah.
Associating, felons associating with felons is frowned upon by the...
Who cares?
The police state.
We're all felons, though.
Yeah, three times a day. 3 times a day, we're all felons.
Have you committed your 3 felonies today?
At least.
At least, yeah.
That should be like a public service announcement. Right?
Yeah.
Do-do-do. Have you committed your 3 felonies today?
Do you know where your children are?
It's 10 o'clock. Have you committed 3 felonies today?
You've only got 2 hours if you haven't. Get those 3 in now while you can. Actually, it's 9:15 here at the Free Talk Live Studios. Why would New York's nurses go on strike, and what did they win? Nikki? You know?
I could definitely tell you.
Do you want to read this?
Sure.
Do you have it?
I do.
Okay, get it.
All right. After working through years of a pandemic at understaffed hospitals, hospital nurses are burned out. Yeah, that's an understatement. In New York City, a three-day strike won them better staffing arrangements. And this is something, a common misconception when nurses go on strike is, oh, they're greedy, they just want more money. No, it's never about money. I've never heard of nurses going on strike because of money. They're going on strike because of staffing ratios.
It's my understanding nurses' pay is pretty good.
It's right? pretty good, yeah. You know, and I heard in New York City from a travel nurse that I'm friends with, they were paying travel nurses at least, starting minimum, $115 an hour.
What is a travel nurse for our listeners?
So a travel nurse is a nurse that gets licensed in various states, and they travel from their home state. Sometimes you can be a travel nurse in your home state, but essentially they're just going...
To a freelancer.
Yeah, so they're contracted. The hospitals contract them when they're short, and they work. And they, you know, work a three-month contract.
So a hospital can't get enough staff locally, so they reach out to these traveling nurses who come from wherever.
Wherever, yeah, exactly.
To help fill the void.
And they typically get paid, like, almost double,
nice.
Depending on the, you know, like, California and Alaska pay big money for travel nurses. And right now, New York City is up there with what they're paying travel nurses because they're so short-staffed.
Right.
And with the tridemic.
Oh, the tridemic.
Yeah, the tridemic.
Yes.
So,
But they were short-staffed because they let a lot of them go because they wouldn't get the job. So they created their own problem.
The hospital I was working at was so short-staffed. I was a CNA at the time. There were supposed to be three CNAs on the shift that I was working.
I just want to be clear, you're not saying that everybody on staff was not tall.
No, they fired all the tall people.
Short-staffed.
Screw it out. Go ahead.
Small package.
No, but basically we were super short-staffed, and they still fired... The hospital I was working at, they only approved, like, three people's religious exemptions.
Wow.
Fired. You're fired.
Terminated,
they were, like,
boom.
The token
don't
approvals, right?
Yeah.
To show that they did approve a few.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And they canned everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Bastards.
Anyways, imagine the worst day of your life. That picture looks different for everyone, but for many of us, that day took place in a hospital. Someone you've loved all your life died. Someone you've barely had a chance to get to know slipped away too soon. Someone in between was sick or injured. And all you could do was hold their hand. Or, due to distance of disease, watch them suffer on a screen. Though all the individual stories unfolding within a major city's hospital walls on any given day, though there are hundreds of reoccurring characters popping in and out of the frame, the army of nurses who kept the entire operation running. So they're trying to paint a picture here. The nurses being the heroes.
Yeah. I mean, these are people who literally try to save lives. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know that I have a problem with people calling themselves heroes when they're really not. You know what I mean? So, like, I get, you know, sort of the kid gloves with this one, but... yeah, I got respect for people in medical care who do it properly.
So as New York City struggles to keep up with the tridemic of COVID-19, RSV, and flu season...
Tridemic.
It's all the same stuff, right?
Which is actually funny. This is the first time I'm hearing of the tridemic.
Tridemic. I've heard
Wait
it before.
Wait for the quaddemic.
Yeah. I know. When's that coming?
The quindemic.
When's the sexdemic?
When is COVID 2024 coming out? Oh, wait. Okay, never mind.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Okay. Where's the octademic?
So hospital beds are filling up, but nursing positions remain empty. And those who are working through the onslaught are close to their breaking point. Patient-to-nurse ratios have ballooned. Individual nurses are tasked with juggling more patients than normal. The situation is especially dire in the NICU, which is the neonatal intensive care unit, where the hospital's youngest patients receive care.
Wow.
The New York State Nurses Association noted in a press release that nurses in one emergency department often have to care up for 20 patients. Oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine that in an emergency department. That is just not safe. So one NICU nurse at some hospital will often be responding for be responsible for 3 or 4 very sick babies at once.
Wow.
So let's just paint this picture. Imagine your baby, newborn baby, is in the hospital. And typically in the ICU,
it's
nurses,
the baby version of ICU.
Exactly. So typically an ICU nurse cares for 1 to 2, maybe 3 patients.
Yeah.
3 or 4 patients in the ICU, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's just, it's really not safe.
And how long is that shift? Is it like 12 hours?
Usually they're 12.
So 12 on 12
sometimes
off.
It's 8. So then imagine, so not only is this nurse the ratio higher, they haven't peed all shift. They're not drinking water. They probably haven't eaten.
Lunch break?
They haven't,
what's that? Right?
Yeah, they haven't taken a break. So these people, they're not nourished. They're not, and if they make any mistake, the hospital's going to throw them under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not safe for the patients, but it's also not safe for the nurses. So a lot of these nurses are so burnt out that they're like, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to get any other job. You know, it's not worth losing their license. A lot of nurses are doing the online, you know, like telehealth. Telehealth sort of thing.
Yep.
Or they're getting an easier job. No one wants to work in the emergency room anymore.
Yep.
No one wants to work in the ICU. It's just people are getting burnt out and they need something different, which is why we're having such a hard time across the country staffing nurses.
I just want to say this. I don't know why it took the government reaction to COVID and the lockdowns and shutdowns and the closings of things for people to realize that telehealth could be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the same thing with, like, working from home. I've always been a supporter of people working from wherever the heck they want to, as long as they get the job done, right? But there are companies out there still that are like, no, we're a brick-and-mortar company, and you will show up and sit at our desk. You know, it's like,
who's going to go to our cafeteria?
Like, if you can get the job done,
exactly.
Who cares where the employee, are they productive? Do they earn their keep, right? That's how you should be evaluating these people. The same with healthcare. Like, all of a sudden, now it's super easy. You just do a little Zoom session with a nurse or whatever, and here's my symptoms, and like, oh, and we got your file. You're okay, well, we'll prescribe you this. Go pick it up at Walgreens. Bob's your uncle. You know, bam, you're done. And, like, it took, like, you know, it's the only light that I see coming out of the COVID craziness is that there is now a better societal leaning towards things being done remotely.
Right, flexibility.
Yes.
I mean, the time it takes for you to drive to wherever. I mean, if you could just, like, open up your computer and do it.
Right.
But I guess if you need those medical devices that may be at a doctor's office.
Sure,
You know, I don't know how you get that to a patient.
Well, you got to go to, like, a walk-in clinic or something, you know, a place where they have that stuff. And but, like, that's far easier to facilitate than having to go to a doctor, make an appointment, go to the doctor's office, wait for the doctor, go into the office, have them do all the stuff that they were, you know, that they got to do to you while you're in the office. Then you got to wait for them to fill out all the paperwork, you know, before you can, like, leave or whatever, and you do all the bureaucracy crap, you know, and then get out and then drive back to wherever it is you're going, work, home, whatever it is, when, like, it's just as easy to open your laptop.
Yeah, my finger's broken. Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, I cut myself. Whatever.
And typically, whenever I've gone to the doctor, they do the same stuff. Oh, I'll take your vitals. Oh, look at you. Oh, you look fine. What, you know, ask me the questions, but they've never done anything to me, you know, unless they're doing some sort of specific test, like if I need a blood draw or something. But I can just go to a clinic. I can go to LabCorp and get my blood drawn.
If
you know?
your insurance company progresses the way that I expect many of them to, they're going to start sending you things like little devices that you can plug into your computer to, like,
plug it right
put your arm in, takes your blood pressure.
Yeah, put it right in your phone.
Yep, put it in your phone, right? Scan, boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. So technology is going to evolve in such a way that it's going to, you're going to be able to do tests from home yourself.
Right, just as small appliances are to a chef or to a kitchen, you'll have small medical appliances, like a mini little hospital in your house or a clinic.
Yeah,
crazy. Nikki, continue.
So moving on, that's why this past week in New York City, 7,000 nurses at Montefiore Medical Facility in Bronx and Mount Sinai Hospital,
Sinai
Hospital in Harlem traded their scrubs for red T-shirts and hit the picket line. The strikers are represented by the NYSNA. For the past 4 months, the union has been engaged in a flurry of negotiations with 12 major New York City hospitals ahead of a December 31st deadline, after which the collective bargaining agreements represented 17,000 of their members would expire. As the deadline approached, the NYSNA held a strike authorization vote in late December, and almost 99% of its members voted to strike if necessary.
Wow.
99%.
Wow.
I mean, people are talk, so clearly a lot of them didn't. But
load up the traveling nurses on the bus and get them in there.
Yeah.
Right?
But, and that's what really...
$3,000 a day.
Well, and that was the thing. So when we striked at my... Or I didn't even get to a strike, but right. At the hospital I was working at, the nurses were threatening to strike. And they literally said, they were like, well, we're not worried about it because we're just going to pay travel nurses to replace all of you for 3 months.
Right.
What a smack in the face. You have these nurses who have worked here for years, dedicating their lives to this hospital so it can run. And you're going to say, nope, I'm just going to pay someone three times what you're making right now because we can afford it.
Right.
Wow. You know, so...
And how can they afford it? By overcharging patients, right? Overcharging insurance companies.
Well, and accepting federal money.
Federal money.
Yeah. You know? So 99% of its members voted to strike if necessary. Striking is always the last resort, NYSNA President Nancy Hagans said then. But we are prepared to strike if our bosses give us no other option. And remember, these nurses aren't striking because they want more money. They're striking because they're scared for their patients and they're scared for their own licenses and their lives.
They may want a day off a week.
Yeah.
Right?
It's asking too much. Contract negotiations centered around the workers' most pressing demand, safer staffing levels. 8 of the 12 hospitals managed to hammer out agreements before or just after the deadline. With nurses at Mount Sinai, Morningside, and West reaching a tentative agreement on Sunday. Let's see what else.
It's interesting to me that striking is even necessary in this day and age for nurses like this, particularly in an area like New York State, right?
It happens a lot. I mean, nurses striked in a hospital in Worcester, Massachusetts, St. Vincent's. There was a big strike. It lasted for a long time.
I'm just saying, it's like 2023. Like, a lot of these things should have been figured out by now and should be standard operating procedure.
You'd think.
But apparently not. 603-283-6160. More about these nurses and more Free Talk Live is coming up.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Congressman Adam Schiff says it's possible that national security was jeopardized by the handling of President Biden's classified documents. Appearing on ABC's This Week, the California Democrat said he'd like to know exactly what documents were discovered in unauthorized locations. At least 19 people have died from severe storms in California, and the White House has approved a disaster declaration to expedite funds. The Buffalo Bills are moving on in the NFL playoffs. They knocked off the Miami Dolphins 34-31. Bills safety DeMar Hamlin expressed his support from home, saying his heart was with the team. The Giants advanced on the road, holding off the Vikings in their wild card matchup 31-24. Gas prices are on the rise. AAA puts the national average at $3.30 a gallon, up 21 cents from a month ago. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Came from
echo.
Built.
You could say that again.
You can say that again.
It's an echoing dual repetitive redundancy here on Free Talk Live.
Department of Redundancy Department.
It's an echoing dual repetitive redundancy here on Free Talk Live. It's an echoing dual repetitive redundancy here on Free Talk Live.
Where's the bypass switch?
Free Talk Live.
The telephone number, 603-283-6160.
That's a lot of numbers.
We'll get to your calls and thoughts in a moment.
Just use the captain's numbers. Don't call it twice.
603-603-283-283-283.
You'll never get in. We need some peers to call. We need some peers to appear.
We'll get to some calls in a minute. It is Free Talk Live. We gave out the phone number. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
Nikki, we were talking about some New York State
strikingly beautiful nurses.
I wrote a note for the show notes that just says New York striking nurses, and it could be construed. Yeah, like New York is just literally beating some nurses.
Probably what it feels like.
Striking them, or they're bitch slapping them. Or it could mean that New York has some gorgeous New York striking nurses.
Striking.
Right? They're just, you know, striking. Anyway, what's going on with, what else is going on with the strike? We heard why they were striking, which is, it seems like they're It's kind of like teachers with the ratios, right? The ratios are off. There's not enough nurses for the number of patients that they have. It sounds like they're filling in gaps with these traveling nurses.
Yeah. Which I think I mentioned on the air that they were paying them around $115 an hour.
Yeah.
I actually shortchanged that by quite a bit. During the strike, hospital executives have brought in travel nurses to temporarily fill the strikers' roles, allegedly, paying them $300 per hour, more than five times a staff nurse's hourly rate, which is maybe why they came to an agreement after 3 days, because I know I mentioned the strike at St. Vincent's Hospital in Worcester, Massachusetts, and that felt like it lasted weeks. It felt like it lasted months, honestly.
$300 an hour is like $600,000 a year if you work 40 hours
a
week.
So wow. I followed this girl on Instagram. She was my age. So at the time, she was like 23 years old, fresh out of nursing school. COVID happens. So she has barely an experience, but gets a job as a travel nurse. And she was doing some investment stuff. She had millions of dollars saved up. Like, she was just taking different contracts. She's traveling. She's young. She doesn't have a, you know,
right.
She doesn't have a mortgage.
No expenses.
Yeah, no boyfriend. Nothing's tying her down. And she was making, she made over $1 million in that first year. And she was like, listen, you know, I invested and was kind of trying to be an inspiration to other nurses and young women and, you know, young people to, like, hey, if you're making a lot of money, don't spend it all.
Right.
Invest.
Right, yeah.
And that was, I
put
was
the
like,
money
dang.
In the stock market in 2020 when it was down.
Yeah.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got, it looks like, Alu Axelman calling from New Hampshire.
All right.
Alu?
Hey, I want to respond to someone who called in last night, I think from Florida, and he was mentioning all of his issues or reservations with independence for New Hampshire.
Okay.
Session, and he said, but what about the roads and the hospitals and the Medicaid and the people would die? Because I happen to know that people as dumb as like Captain Kickass and Nikki and whoever else is there would not survive without DC. Without smart people like Biden and Pelosi and McCarthy, like you guys would just die because you wouldn't know how to like balance your lives. And
I would be totally lost without Biden telling me what to do every day. Yeah, it's true.
So there are some questions that, you know, are somewhat legitimate in some sense about how things would continue, how our systems would operate without the federal government once we leave the union, as far as, you know, the medical system and law enforcement and military. I wrote a book addressing all of these questions. Every common question, or pretty much every actual question about systems. I wrote a book. It's called Articles of Secession. It's on Amazon for like $8 or $7 or something. And it answers all these questions that I've heard. And if someone has a question I haven't answered, I'll add it to the book.
Nice.
I've also had a standing invitation to debate anyone in the world on independence for years now, and no legislators have taken me up on it. So I'm open to debate, and I have articles and books out. So.
Hang on. What's the name of the book again?
Articles of Secession.
And it's on Amazon by Alu Axelman.
I have a question about that.
Yes,
can I get it on Kindle?
Yes. Oh, my books
are on Amazon,
Kindle,
right?
And paperback.
Okay. Well, I looked it up, and I couldn't find it. So.
No, Articles of Secession on Amazon should be right there.
All right, I'll find it.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else you want to add, Alu?
I think that's all for now. I'm going to get back to work. I'm writing about the bills and the hearings this Friday for some good liberty bills.
Good luck, and thank you for your service. We appreciate you, Alu Axelman,
also,
of the Liberty Block.
Yep, there you go. Yeah,
don't try to debate him.
To
I don't know who would want to debate him. I mean, he'll just clean him up.
Yeah, he's pretty
good.
Strong.
Thorough.
Yeah, the debate is strong with that one. Was there more about the strike, the nurses?
No, not really. We had one more paragraph, but
okay.
Make $600,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's 5 days a week, though.
But you got to think,
working 12 hours a day.
Yeah, but if you just were part time,
and the thing is, so they were only striking for what, 3 days?
Yeah.
So you get 3 days at $300 an hour, get another travel gig, but it's not going to be that much money, but still, I mean, these travel nurses are making big bucks.
Right.
Let's go to more of your calls and thoughts. Let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
And that's what life is all about. Money, money, money. That's it. There's nothing else. Hey, you know, it occurred to me that you know, if Alu opened a bar, he could call it Alu Axe Bar.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I like it.
What's on your mind,
Nikki,
David?
Wargaming. But first of all, Nikki, what mount was that again?
For what?
What mount was that?
Mount Sinai?
Mount Sinai.
Don't help her.
I know.
I'm not helping her.
You just
Mount Sinai, Mount Sunny.
Yeah.
Montefiore.
Mount Sayonara.
North Fork. Say that three times fast.
Montefiore.
Axelbar. And, hello, Axelbar. Oh, God. I haven't cracked myself.
Yes, David entertains himself here on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. So, wargaming. Let's go from laughing to death.
Now, like, what kind of war games? Because I used to play a board game called Axis and Allies way back in the day before internet. And that was, like, one of these board games that you got to spend a minimum of, like, 8 hours playing, right? And, like, the game can often last for weeks on end.
Like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
What was the name of the game?
Axis and Allies. And what I learned after playing it with some other people for quite...
Like a World War II thing?
It's kind of a reenactment of World War II. Each player gets to choose to be, you know, a certain country or whatever. And really the way to win consistently, unfortunately, for this game, the way it was designed, is to just always become Germany.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think that wouldn't be the way to win.
Right, but so the reason that you win is because you just have to avoid the mistake that the Nazi Germany regime made, which is fighting the war on two fronts simultaneously.
Yeah.
As long as you avoid doing that, generally speaking, you ramp up your armaments and your armies and your factories and all that kind of stuff fast enough within the confines of the game that you can generally win most of the time.
Generally.
What that brings to mind is if the Axis powers open the bar, then they could have, what would that be? The Axis bar? If they hired Alu to
the creature cantina from Star Wars?
Yeah, like that. So back to killing people. So wargaming.
I was never killing people to begin with. I can't go back to something I never started.
Well, I've killed people, and I'm going back to it, damn it. So,
wouldn't recommend that.
Who are you going to kill now?
I don't know. Whoever needs killing, I suppose. I mean, if it works, it works for the U.S. military, so what the hell, man?
We are not encouraging murder on Free Talk Live.
If you need help and you can find him, maybe you can hire the David team.
I didn't say murder. I said killing. There's a difference.
Okay,
look it up.
Well.
Killing is killing, and murder is illegal. Killing is not illegal if you're the government.
Huh?
Okay.
Oh, so you're going to get a government job? Jesus, David. Haven't you listened to this show long enough to know that
despicable? I'm going to fight the government. You know, cuz the government is not legitimate in the first place.
Agreed.
So coming back to reality here, the government is presently murdering you. Not killing you, they're murdering you with their little injection, you know, their lethal injection.
Well, they're not murdering me.
They're not murdering
well,
me.
You aren't
fine.
The only. Is this a radio? Is this? Are we on the radio?
I don't know. Are we?
I don't know. You're not on YouTube.
It is a radio show.
You're not on my local stations anymore. You've disappeared from Albuquerque. You've disappeared from Farmington. I don't know about that.
We should be. I mean, maybe not on Sunday night. I'm not sure. You know what stations are doing now.
For years and years and years, you were on Saturday and Sunday night in Farmington. Now there's silence during your program.
Yeah.
However, they do play the advertisements. You know, the computer plays the advertisements automatically. But when you guys are supposed to come on for like the last 3-4 weeks in a row, and then
I think your phone's like cutting out there somehow.
Well, my phone's a piece of crap, but so that's kind of like.
We did make some changes to the program, though, David, that you probably heard about, but we've actually eliminated about half of the breaks, so we're taking many less breaks. And so there were a few stations that sort of were like, yeah, we can't handle that, or we don't have the technology to make that happen, or we don't want it, whatever their reason was. So it's possible that we fell off of your favorite radio station for that reason. But I know that
might be it.
It might be it, but I also know that there's sometimes stations will run other stuff instead of us, you know, even if we're the regular stuff because, you know, they want to or they have something else. They're like, oh, we'll bump this show for this other thing for a while and try something else. So,
that didn't occur to me. You may have just explained the Farmington issue, but Albuquerque canceled you because Ian's going to prison. That's why. Albuquerque.
It wasn't because you kept calling day after day saying things like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmitz and
John J. Romero.
That's the guy. And what's the other?
Monica Zamora.
How can you forget, Captain? Come on.
It's a traumatic experience, so I've blocked it out. And I'm only trying to heal now by confronting David on this show.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Let's test the captain's memory. What is the third level judge? What is the third one? Come on. Give me that name.
Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care?
Well, she kind of looks like that, but Judge Angela... Go ahead. Finish it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jewel. Judge Angela Jewel.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
Angela Jewel?
Yeah, Angela Jewel, married to Tommy Jewel. Remember the...
Oh, I remember now. As soon as you said married to Tommy Jewel, I'm like, oh, it all came rushing back. Thanks for making me re-experience the traumatic experience.
Department of Redundancy.
David.
I just about fought a big black judge in a black barber shop in Albuquerque.
Okay.
So back to killing people, all right? So back to killing people. So the U.S. government is presently killing you, and that's where we went off, because the captain responded to that with a...
You said murder. You said murder. He's murdering us with the shots.
No, the U.S. government is murdering you. The U.S. government is murdering you. And you went off on the word you, but and I asked if this was a radio station, and the answer is
yes. Yeah, we were all there, Seth.
Yeah, and that means, that means it feels like I've been here before. Right. Well, if you wouldn't have pulled the switch and put the train off on the siding, Captain, we wouldn't go back.
Pardon me, sir. Would you mind stepping out of your train of thought? You were wandering all over the avenue of consideration. Can I see your degree, please? Take it out of the frame.
Not a problem. So the U.S. government is murdering you. And if and when the people that live here get around to saying enough is enough and they fight back against their illegitimate government that is murdering them, which we can easily clean their clock because we have the Second Amendment, which means there's like, you know, half a billion firearms available to us. So,
well, some of us have the Second Amendment.
No, we all got it. But so to avoid being sidetracked again, my question is, since the U.S. population can easily defeat the U.S. government in like 2 hours because we outnumber them and outarm them, like 100-1 or 1,000-1.
There are certainly more citizens than government employees, yes.
Yes, and we don't need F-15s or F-18s or atomic bombs or anything to do it. We can do it simply with our handguns and long guns. But so the question is, here's the question. Thank God we're finally getting to it. The question is,
I'll say.
Does the imposters calling themselves the U.S. government have some secret plan up their sleeve to kill us all, to defeat our small arms, because the U.S. military alone cannot defeat us. So do they have a greater plan to murder us all so that we can't defeat them in a battle?
Yes.
That's a good question, and thanks for the call, David. We appreciate you. Do they have a plan? I'm sure they've thought about it. But we're in a position now, of course, I think I said this earlier in the show, maybe first segment tonight, that we're in a precarious position where it's more prudent for you to think about how to defend yourself against your government than a foreign government. Right? Because governments, you know, they're kind of tired of doing all this war stuff, right? And they're like, well, why should we do that? You know, to increase our wealth and, you know, do favors for our friends, when we could just target the citizens themselves. Raise taxes, create more laws, more subjugation, more rule, more control over you equals better for them.
Well, they want to do both.
15-minute cities, that's my thing now. 15-minute cities, keeping everyone in an open-air prison and cities.
Yeah, that's just such a crazy, poor, like, concept. Like,
no, but if you
horrible.
Can, if you can, you know, if again, people who are rural or spread out, if they're concentrated, you can have more control over them easily.
Yeah, people living in togetherments.
Yeah, togetherments, yeah. 75 square foot bedrooms, yeah.
And if everyone's using all this electric stuff, no more gas stoves, no more internal combustion engines, well,
right.
You can just pull the plug.
Right. Your car is freedom.
Speaking of combustion, let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, I just want to say that thanks for the David call. He's very refreshing. I enjoy his calls. But I just want to say that...
Are you being sarcastic? Sarah,
it's Angela Jewell.
Rescue Center now, Dream Center. New Mexico Dream Center. And it's not about sleeping. It's about rescuing human trafficking victims that want to get rescued. And she was one of the guest speakers at the church that I went to.
Who?
So I was just quite shocked. Yeah, I went to, and then she was invited to speak about how they help.
Who was invited?
Shelly, used to be former counselor to the homeless people, and then she opened up a human trafficking rescue center.
That's nice.
Oh, I know. I was just, that was the best part of the service. I was like, wow. So they even have a youth center, the 3 days a week to have the underage people to go in and get help.
Nice. Hey, Sarah, I have a question for you because I know you're in New Mexico. Do you listen to us on the radio?
You know, you stopped coming in, but now I know because Ian's going into prison now. That's why you got banned out of New Mexico radio station. Is that the way he's going to prison?
I don't know that we were banned, and it remains to be seen whether or not he goes to prison. He did go to trial. If you've been listening to the show, you've heard about the Crypto 6, and if you want to find out more, thecrypto6.com is where you go to find out more. But he was convicted by a jury, but there's a whole entire appeals process that will be happening next. So it's going to be some time. Sentencing is scheduled sometime later this year, you know, 3-4 months from now. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to happen before we know whether or not he's going to jail.
Well, the thing is that Ian needs to know that if he goes there, he's going to meet all these uneducated, illiterate welfare recipients that got free lunches. He's going to be in the jail with those people, so he better be careful to badmouth them on his show, because they will kick his ass, beating up on welfare people and just that.
Wait, do you have contacts in prison, Sarah? Is this a threat? What's going on?
I don't know. You know what? But that's who he's going to be surrounded by.
When have you known Ian to, like, badmouth, like, convicts? Right. If anything, the only thing Ian's badmouthing is the organization with a monopoly on violence known as government.
I think that would probably make him pretty popular.
Well, he picks on me all the time for being on welfare repeatedly over and over again. So he'll be surrounded by people when he goes there, so he'll be happy.
Yeah, he's not trying to insult you. He's just trying to point out that you're a leech on the system.
Well, I mean... What I'm saying is he my psychiatrist? Is he a judge? Is he the one that approved me for Social Security? Who is the one to judge me? So he could judge all the people in jail that got free lunch, that got welfare, people that got Section 8.
Well,
they'll have a great time.
By definition, anybody in jail is on welfare, right? It's a government-paid-for program. The government takes money from other people and uses that to build the prisons and pay the prison, you know, the guards and the, what's the guy who runs the prison?
The warden.
The warden, thank you.
And the pigeon.
Pigeons, yeah, crystal meth, all that kind of stuff.
You know what they say, three hots and a cot.
Three hots and a cot. The ultimate welfare program. Now, the difference between somebody like Sarah collecting welfare and somebody like Ian, who's been targeted and terrorized by the government, if he does go to jail, it's, of course, against his will. He has no choice. If he resists, they will shoot him and kill him. So that's the difference, Sarah.
Well, I'm just saying, anyway, overall, I'm not the one to pass judgment. I think that Ian is not a malicious person.
No, not at all. Anybody who spent, like, 10 minutes with the guy is like, this guy is totally not, he means nobody any harm. He wants to bring peace to the world, and he wants to bring prosperity to the world, and he wants to do it all nonviolently.
Oh, that sounds like the opposite. of the U.S. government.
Yeah, but
it is.
And you know, and I do appreciate his show because I get to bring up this Dream Center that we got. We got, you know, these Dream Center that we try to. I get to talk about human trafficking, and there's people that are trying to stop it and help them. And one of the workers, she got tricked and lured into a place, and three of these people assaulted her. I guess it was
terrible.
One of those. I mean, it was the one of the pimps that was losing their girls, like they can't make any money, so that they set her up, and they found her, somebody found her laying on the street. I mean, it just teared up my eyes, and I couldn't believe it. You know what I mean? I just cried, broke down, because these poor women that are, even the people that work there, they're getting assaulted, and it's just horrible. So I'm just happy with the opportunity to talk about this, but I just hope good luck with Ian, though. So, good night.
Hey, thanks for the call, Sarah. It certainly is, something like both human trafficking and Ian's plight, his obvious oppression by the masters known as the United States government, are both very serious topics and should be taken seriously. Sarah's fun. I like her calls. But she is, a leech on the system. It's the long and the short of it, you know. So are police, right? So are, if you work for the Parks Department, right, you're a leech on the system. It's just how it is. If you have a business, and most of your business is done by contracting to the government, you're also a leech on the system, and that would be like what I would call a second-level welfare recipient, right? Your cash cow is the federal government. We know that the federal government doesn't have anything, doesn't make anything, doesn't do anything of, you know, to produce. So in order for it to pay you, it must first take money from somebody else before they can give it to you.
Secondhand welfare.
Yeah, second level.
Second level.
Like direct welfare.
But I mean, it's still better than them creating another department and making them all government employees, but it's still bad. Who's going to pay for the roads?
thank you, Steve Classic, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me. Thank you to all of our callers and listeners. It's been the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. You can find the archives over at freetalklive.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can go re-listen to it there. Consider becoming an amp at amps.freetalklive.com. Thanks and peace.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.